Hey Peter, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of personality questions. Before we begin,
Okay.
could you please, in a few sentences, introduce yourself and what is your passion?
Yes, so my name is Peter Simmons. I'm the Georgia State Policy Advocate for Protect Democracy, and my passion is a well-represented, well-educated electorate.
Okay, cool. We can probably get a little bit more into it once we get into the podcast. First, the question I would like to ask you is, if you had to describe yourself in one word, how would you describe it?
Curious.
Good answer. Do you get energized by politics or policy?
Both. I think that I enjoy the competition and the level of performance that politics brings out of me, but I truly in my true passion is policy. Because it allows me to think and create a solution to the problems that I see around me.
What is your favorite lesson in government relations? Like, was there any instance where you learned something from that experience?
Yes, be a nice person. I found that one of the most important things are one of the most important things has been my ability to build relationships and like integrity. It's gone a long way,
Okay.
regardless of what you think you might think of lobbyists.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, exactly. And did you have to, adapt to being that way, or were you inherently that way?
I think, well, I'm very Southern, so I think operating in a way that like people in a small town do has helped me interact with people in a responsible way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, I've been to New Orleans, and the hospitality there is amazing. I was just blown away over there. What was your first job as a teenager?
My first job as a teenager, I was a foot masseuse and I ran my own booth at a shoe store. I was 13.
Oh wow, that's amazing. How did you get that? I mean,
I knew someone. I was pretty good at it, and I was able to work out a deal where I was able to like levy utility and receive some myself.
interesting. Typically people have a misunderstanding as to what lobbying is all about and what advocacy is all about. How would you educate them what truly happens behind the scenes?
Well, I would encourage them to watch the news, but I would also, and not just like CNN, but C-SPAN and like other more political publications, but also to engage directly, talk to their legislators, actively participate in the political process in a way that allows them to expand their understanding of it. In a different way, I would say that it's not always as nefarious as it may seem if you don't quite understand the process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, like, let's say, I mean, like, on a day-to-day basis, everyone is so busy, right? A common man is so busy. How would you encourage them to be more actively involved? I mean, like, what is it that would give them an incentive to be more participative in these types of civic engagement?
Well, I think self-interest. Honestly, I think that what many people may not realize is that the more you interact with the people who represent you, the more they'll think of you when they're taking official government action. if person X is always talking to their state house representative, when their state house representative goes to vote, they're going to be thinking about that person and the issues that they've brought up and the perspective that they've shared with the legislator. And that's going to matter when they vote. I think like you're your own best lobbyist. And the more people that develop a close relationship, excuse me, with their legislator or their any public official that represents them, the more they'll realize how that relationship benefits both parties.
So you told me a little bit about your passion. Can you a little bit expand on that and tell us, like, why what you're doing matters to you?
Yes, so I'm very passionate about increasing representation for the electorate and ensuring that they have the necessary resources to understand the process. And I think that that's important to me because it's the most basic unit of agency is understanding the process and having the ability to meaningfully and participate in it. If that makes sense.
And how did you get into this field? Why this passion? Like, there are so many other things out there, right? How did you feel? Like, why did you get into this space, I guess?
Well, I started when I was 18 as a fundraiser for a progressive consulting firm in Atlanta. And through my time there, I realized how much influence and power the people who were elected to public office truly held. As time went on and I got more people elected, I realized that, okay, well, it's not just about getting people into office, it's about ensuring that what they're doing is the best possible action they can take at that time. And that's when I kind of realized that I was very interested in policy and law. After that, I went to law school in Washington. I went to Howard University, and I did a lot of law clerking on the Hill and interning at agencies to try to understand how the process worked. Once I graduated, I started working at a Beltway think tank on electoral reform issues. One or two jobs later, I decided to get a master's from George Washington and then decided to take a job overseas working as the chief counsel to a legislature. And that's kind of how I ended up here. But it came from I became curious as to how the decisions that affected my day-to-day life were made, if that makes sense.
And what made you move to, were you originally from Georgia or were you from DC and then you moved around and then what made you move back to Georgia?
No, so I'm from Macon, Georgia. I moved away to get an education, but I moved back because Protect Democracy is one of the best organizations that I've worked with and around to ensure that our democracy functions and is representative of the ideologies that this country was founded on, if that makes sense.
What is the best advice you ever received?
Talk less, smile more.
Ah, nice. And what is the hardest part about your job?
Sometimes the hardest part about my job is working to help people understand the reason why they would take like pro-democratic action. I think in our current political climate, we've gotten so polarized that it incentivizes people to become more extreme. So when you have someone coming to talk to people about increasing like proportional representation or strengthening the rule of law or ensuring that our democratic institutions remain functioning and viable, sometimes people don't, it's hard to take people out of a partisan, like hyper-partisan mindset and reorient them to democracy for all democracy for all mindset, if that makes sense. Like it's difficult, but It's the first part of what we have to do.
And is that doable? I mean, are there like steps to do to execute it?
Yes, of course. It's very doable. I find that most people in this country want to do what they think is right. And a lot of times our differences come from misunderstandings, but also not reacting to our own biases in a way that deprioritizes the needs of others. And I think once you start talking to people in a way that like is not condescending and you're being honest, but you're illustrating your point, we're in a very fraught time in our country. No one wants to see the United States like become anti-democratic and backslide into authoritarianism, and people are concerned. So it's difficult, but people are eager to find a way to de-escalate. They want an off-ramp. So it's definitely doable, though it's often complicated and difficult.
Right. What is the most momentous thing in your career?
Could you clarify that a little bit?
Like, are there any highlights in your career which you felt really proud of?
My time in Palau was really wonderful. It every day I was doing something above my pay grade, but the fact that I was able to do it successfully-ish is a point of pride. Also, early in my career, I was very lucky. I managed to get a single line in a very large piece of federal legislation, which was at one point the biggest thing that I had ever like imagined. So it was, those are I would say two of the high points of my career thus far.
That's
And working
awesome.
with Protect Democracy, of course.
That's awesome. And what was that federal legislation, if you're open to disclose that?
It was HR1,
Okay, and what was that
for
about?
the people,
Okay.
the For the People Act. It was more democracy legislation a long time ago, before I'd gone to PD, or and it was right after I graduated.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Let me ask you, do you have any pet peeves? Like, what gets on your nerve?
Authoritarianism. I really don't like when people who are have been entrusted with like authority and responsibility misuse it, either for their own personal gain or to the detriment of people they don't like.
And if you had all the money in the world, what would you do with it?
Create a robust civic education program and end world hunger.
Oh, wow. That's a really good one. With that,
And go on
let's,
vacation.
oh, of course, in
That
that order or the
order, in that,
other
I feel like you need to earn it first,
way
but a
around?
really extravagant vacation.
There you go. With that, let's go a little bit into a past. You did mention that you grew up in Georgia. Tell us, how were your childhood like, and were there any glimpses of you having dreams of getting into politics when you were growing up?
So growing up, I lived in a small town. I'm from Macon, Georgia, which is now a fairly moderate sized town, but I'm originally from Jones County, which was about 20,000 people or less at the time. It was simple. I was very lucky to be born to a nice family, made sure that I was well educated. My parents were very, very adamant about civic engagement. So they had experienced segregation, and they were alive before the Voting Rights Act was passed. So they experienced a world where their rights weren't guaranteed by the Constitution, or their rights guaranteed by the Constitution weren't being recognized by law. And they really impressed upon me the duty of every person in our country to ensure that the government functions the way it's supposed to and respects people as individuals and preserves their rights and liberties and basic human dignity.
So now I see the connecting dots. So it looks like that was what sparked your interest. And what happened after that? I mean, like, you got into high school, were you actually participating in, like, you know, debates or anything like that?
So one of my first jobs after being a foot masseuse, I actually worked as an election administration office in my home county. So that was one of my first experiences dealing with election administration and the political process. From there, I started volunteering on campaigns and just engaging in civil society in a way that demonstrated the importance of civic participation and understanding the system.
And how did you fall into that, you know, position? Like, when you said you got into the election commission and all, right? How did you get that initial job?
It was a job posting through a youth employment program. I was 17, maybe 16, and they took applications. I applied and I was lucky to be accepted.
Okay, so you volunteered to be applying. You basically applied. It was not something, you know, we just happened to you. So you basically,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
Got it. Okay. And then what happened after that? Just walk us through a journey until the point you got into Protect Democracy.
So I went into this a little bit earlier. So I graduated from high school and went to Georgia State. I originally was going to be a doctor. But I got involved in politics and started attending protests. And then I started realizing that I needed to know more about the system. So I changed my major to philosophy and decided to go to law school. At that point, I started interning with a political consulting firm that was actually retained by someone from my hometown whose campaign I had volunteered for years. So I started working with them. I realized that I had a knack for it and I enjoyed the intrigue and the excitement. And I excelled and realized that I wanted more and I wanted to do more and have a greater impact. It became clear to me that there were a lot of people who had this ability to make change that didn't understand why they should or didn't want to. And it was important for me to provide a competing voice to them, if that makes sense.
So after all those experiences, you came into Protect Democracy. So can you tell us a little bit more about your organization? What is your organization's cause? And what actually is your role here?
Yes, so Protect Democracy is a cross-ideological nonprofit dedicated to defeating the authoritarian threat in the United States, building more resilient democratic institutions, protecting our freedom and liberal democracy, and bolstering the rule of law. We use litigation, policy analysis, technology, comms, you name it, to make sure that we are building the democracy of tomorrow. And my role there is the Georgia State Policy Advocate. So I engage with stakeholders, work within coalitions, I write legislation and regulations, develop policy, perform research, engage in lobbying, both with the legislature and within like more administrative bodies, and generally work to ensure that there's very little democratic backslide in the state of Georgia, as much as humanly possible.
And can you walk us through a typical day in your life?
When you So I wake up, check the news, make sure that nothing like urgent or there are no acute needs based on like what I see at that time. I perform research, reach out to stakeholders, talk to like legislators who I've formed relationships with or other public officials, members of the business community, providing like policy information and general like resources that enable people who may not spend all their time thinking about something like authoritarianism to engage with the process and understand what they're seeing, and talk about it in a way that's convincing and nuanced and allow them to understand and increase their actual capacity to engage instead of creating mouthpieces. So I spend a lot of time empowering people who can affect the system at large, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And typically, who are your stakeholders and members? I mean, are they like the common public, and how do you get to them? How do you make sure that they are aware of your organization, that you guys exist, and how do you do that?
So they could be members of the public, but most of the time they are members of the legislature or partner organizations or public officials who want to do the right thing but don't quite know what the right thing is or the factors at play. Essentially, the stakeholders that we engage with most are people who have influence in their community or within the government. And we get to them by being a good person, being a good partner, making sure that the things we put out in the world are accurate, performing research and providing utility. I like to think of myself as a more of a technical lobbyist in the sense that I bring data and information and like parliamentary procedure insights. Though I hope to get to the point where I'm just as good at lever pulling and relationship building. But all of those things are tools that I use to influence the people who are decision makers or who have decision makers ear. That makes sense.
So if I had to draw a pie chart, and let's say if you had to divide the amount of work you put in, and then you had to divide them by segments, like, you know, 20% I work on this, 30% I work on this, 50% I talk to the members. How would you divide that up?
I would say that external factors dictate that in large part. If it's legislative session, I might be 90% talking to legislators, 10% talking to relevant administrative parties who are looking to influence the legislature in a similar way. And when the legislature is not in session, I may be talking to administrative bodies or coalition partners. I think I'm hesitant to put an exact percent on it because it's so dynamic, but it's purely determined by the needs of the moment.
Okay. So if you had to share any wisdom, like, you know, from the experiences you've had, what is it that you will tell people which you've learned from, you know, your experiences? Like, you would say, from based on what you've seen so far, do this, but not that. Anything like that?
Yeah. So what I would say is do engage with your legislatures and legislators in your like individual representatives, and do learn the system. Do learn the process by which the laws that govern your life are enacted. Don't forget that legislators and public officials are people, and that they oftentimes, when they make a decision that is adverse to your interests, they may not know or understand. There's a limited amount of resources that governing bodies have, and they don't always have the staff full time or the like depth of policy expertise that they may need, either within their offices or personally, to fully game out every aspect of every policy decision they're going to make. And even if they were all experts on everything, the amount of work they have to do would preclude them from doing everything perfect because they're human. Mm-hmm. I think that not compromising your ideology, but maybe tempering your view of others is one of the most effective tools to becoming a good advocate. Because you can convince people you're right, but you can convince people you're a nice person if you've been yelling at them only. Sometimes you have to yell, but it's good to talk first.
Right. Good piece of advice. And let's talk a little bit into your future. Where do you see yourself down the line, 5, 10 years? You have any plans, anything like that?
5 years, hopefully still at Protect Democracy, maybe working in a congressional office, but 10, I'd love to run for office. I'd love to eventually end up in Congress myself.
Oh, nice. Locally here at the state level?
No, the US Congress.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. That's really good.
Fingers crossed.
Well, I wish you all the best, Peter. Thanks so much for sharing your experiences so far and your insights. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful.